Before we open God's word together, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, who art in heaven, we turn to thee again in this afternoon hour that we would dedicate unto thee for thy praise and thy worship. Lord, we desire that thy Holy Spirit would be present among us, that thou would teach us and guide us into thy truth. Bless thy word, be with thy servants, and provide, Lord, all that we are needing. For all good and perfect gifts, they are coming from thee and thee alone. And so, Lord, we pray that thou would draw our hearts together around about thy precious and living word, that we can see ourselves and see thee in the clearness, and that thy direction and instruction would be received, and we would be able to find thy blessing in following in thy way. We ask all and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, there's two passages of Scripture that I'd like to read with the Lord's help. A few verses, again, from Ephesians chapter 4, and also a few verses from Esther chapter number 3. My apologies, a few verses from Esther chapter 4 and Ephesians 4. Begin reading with verse 9 of Esther chapter 4. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in to the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not within thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. I would like to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4, read from this scripture a number of times recently. Perhaps we can read the first 16 verses yet again. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. May God bless the reading. Last week we had the concluding half of Ephesians chapter 4. A few Wednesdays ago we had the first few verses spoken about regarding the exhortation to unity. With the Lord's help, desire that we would read together and contemplate, meditate upon this gift of Christ that he is furnishing and providing to the church, to each of his children, for the service and edification of the body, and also for the growth of the body, to God's honor and glory. There is the acknowledgement of the gifts of Christ, and then we read of them enumerated as apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then in verse 12, we begin seeing the intent of those gifts and the expected outcomes of Christ's working in hearts of his dear ones, brothers and sisters who are called and provided for by God's Holy Spirit. And as we would consider these expected outcomes, the purpose for the gifts, the idea that God has as he gives these gifts, and as he hopes to develop a church that would be to his honor and glory, I would hope that we can see that there is very practical application for our day. We read a little bit from Esther. She was a queen, a beautiful woman that was made queen in the palace. And she heard of a plot to eradicate the Jews. And we picked up the reading when Mordecai, her uncle, and her were talking about what are they going to do. This was the time that they were given. This was the opportunity that they had to work. This was their opportunity to speak. And Mordecai warned Esther that if she holds her peace, if she stays quiet at this time, she won't be safe in a king's house. But deliverance would come to the Jews, but of some other place. And he said those very, very strong words. Who knows? If we were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, God worked out all of the events of Esther's life and Mordecai's life to bring them to that point where they would be of service in delivering God's people. Now the question for us, God has given us life. He's brought us to this place. Could it be that there is a purpose and a reason that such a time as this, you are here? You will find the way to fulfill that purpose in all that Jesus Christ provides, in his gift, in the strength that he gives, in his faithfulness, in the abilities that he's provided. Perhaps you too will find that you have been granted an opportunity for such a time as this. We look at the gifts and their expected outcome. The expected outcome of the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their intent is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's an element of service that takes place when an individual who's been called of the Lord to give of his time and to be spent for the Lord's service, for the benefit of others, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The ministry and the service in the church is work. It does take effort, and many, many are involved. And for the edifying of the body of Christ, there's something great in God's intention for his gifts. Sometimes we think of a gift as something that we receive and that we can enjoy and that we can consume, something we got for ourselves. But the gift of Christ, it offers something. It offers something far greater than ourselves as individuals. But an opportunity to serve and to help other people, to be a part of God's work upon this earth, the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up someone else in their faith, to help one who's struggling, to encourage one who is in need of a word of kindness. That is actually, it does take work, but it's valuable and it's worthwhile. You know, the gifts of this world and the stuff that we can share, there's little to no value in that. But to serve others, to be a willing vessel to share the word of God, to sow seeds in the kingdom of God that would bring someone else to salvation, would reinforce someone else in their faith. That's what God is calling us to. He's calling us to a community. Now, a lot of times we hear that the world says that, well, religion and church is backwards and for weak individuals. But God is intending something. He's intending the gifts to be used in the service of his family, and for the individual members to be built up in community. And that's something that is lacking in this world. We have the technology. We have the resources to be independent. And that's been true for quite some time, maybe 70, 80 years. Before that, life was much slower. We had time to, I can't say me myself, but we hear of stories of people who had time to slow down, to take time to understand what somebody else is going through. And there was a closeness. There was community. There were small towns. And now it seems that with all the progress, we've been able to become individuals. We've been able to become, as much as we can, self-sufficient. But we lack something in this culture. We lack a sense of community. And so you see in the world a hunger and a thirst for a connectedness. And they go to the devices that have given us this independence, and they seek people of a common interest, a common goal, a common purpose. And they want to be connected with one another. But all along, Jesus Christ and his intention for the church was that this need of our inner man would be met right here. Christ's gifts are given abundantly. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, it says he's abounded unto us with all wisdom and prudence. Man, with his wisdom, he's pursued his individual goals, and he's left empty and looking for community. But in Christ, we find that community is important, that the gifts that we have are not for ourselves or for our own consumption, but for blessing one another. We've all either been through or will go through very hard times. And we have something so very special among brethren that take their faith seriously, that take the call of Jesus Christ to love one another and to help one who is cast down. We find something that just doesn't exist in this world. And it is something that I've been blessed by each and every one of you. It's a working of the gift of Christ. May we continue in it. May we continue looking for opportunities to share. May we continue to be hospitable. May we continue in serving one another, in remembering that we are each and every one of us on a journey. We are each and every one of us need to grow and seek, what is it that the Lord has given me to share? What gift? What concern upon my heart has the Lord placed upon me that can be of help and use for others? I believe that when we exercise this, when we take this calling and God's intention for his gifts seriously, we will find we have something to offer the world. A world that is looking for community. A world that is looking for a group of people that know each other for generations and have every intent and desire to continue that way. And though it's a work and that it's a challenge, there is so much need and so much opportunity that no one needs to say, there's nothing for me to do. But we need to be in prayer. We need to be seeking the Lord, how he would have us to be occupied. And we may be a place where community and a closeness abounds, that those in the world might find a light and might find salt, like Jesus has commanded us to be. Something different from this world. Something different than the continual pursuit of our individual interests. But what is good for the body and how I can be used? Man continually pursues our own pleasure, our own stuff, our own things, and our own enjoyment. But there is an emptiness and there's a helplessness in this world. It's shown in all the statistics of the use of drugs. It's continuing to rise. It doesn't satisfy the soul. But Jesus Christ's gift, that's what satisfies the soul. And Jesus Christ's gifts being exercised and used in the body as it pleases him allows us to offer something to this world and be that light. He then says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a high calling that we're being called to. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We read at the end of chapter 1 where Apostle Paul speaks of Christ's body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ's intent in when he gives a gift and when he provides unto you and to me an opportunity to be used for his service, he intends that we would be coming into that image of Christ, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, and that is a high calling. This morning with the kids, we sang number 53 in the junior hymnal. Unmeasured is thy goodness, Lord. The measure of the gift of Christ is something that we cannot even fathom. We can measure and scale things up for our work or for our homes all the time. But when it comes to the gift of Christ, there's no measure. And Apostle Paul even prays for the Ephesians that they would know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God may be calling you, God is calling me, each and every one that he grants his grace to be growing in this direction, till we all come in the unity of faith and a knowledge of the Son of God. We speak often about knowing Christ. Knowing Christ, who he is and what he has done for us. When we appreciate his gift of salvation and goodness, we come into a unity of love and faith because our attention and our thoughts are on him. And we are encouraged and exhorted here to strive for growth in our individual and in our collective lives, that we might fulfill that measure of the fullness of Christ. We are here as representatives and ambassadors for the Lord. And the question for myself and for you and as we go through our week, do we fully represent Christ in his love, in his patience, in his dedication to his Father? How many things did Christ demonstrate to us? He demonstrated his humility. He wept with those that wept, and he was joyful with those that rejoiced. He gave of himself freely. And he experienced the temptations that you and I have, and yet was without sin. He spanned all of the experiences that you and I have. And God sets him up for our example, that perfect example. And even it says here that he is a perfect man. And we are called to be the fullness of his body, fullness of him that filleth all in all, that we might represent him fully. And oh, we each have far to go, because we see how great and glorious our Savior is. But that's what we are to be striving for. We're to be striving towards that image of Christ. It's an image of the perfect man. It's the Word of God made flesh. It's the idea and concept of what God sees that man can be. And he made it. That known to us through Jesus Christ. So we would know what a perfect man is. And we would know where to go. But in this world, in this time that we live in, who knows what a man is? Who knows what a woman is? This causes huge controversy and questions, even though it's very simple and basic. But we can offer an answer. We can offer something for such a time as this, and not just the basic answer, but we can go a little bit further. And those that are questioning, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be manly and to be strong, to be a leader, to be consistent and reliable? Well, we look to Jesus. And for the world that's groping in the darkness for answers of who we're supposed to be, the Lord provides the answer. And so it's important that the church be occupied in Christ's gifts and developing these things, so that when the questions come, we have something to offer. We've been trained and we've been honed into understanding and surrendering to God's idea of what a man should be. And we see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so when the world comes with a question about who is a man, we can say, we know. And furthermore, do you know Jesus Christ? And use that as an opportunity to witness, to speak of the gospel, because that's the only hope for all of mankind that's lost in sin and the darkness and the questions and confusions. The church has something to offer if we're occupied in Christ's gifts and using them, because they have an intended purpose to develop us into that perfect man, into Christ's image. If we leave those things aside, we will not be prepared when the questions come. And so it behooves us to consider, what are Christ's gifts? How does he seek me to serve? Can I be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within me to the world that has questions? And lastly, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When we think of deceiving, it's not hard to imagine all the ways in which the world presents its values, presents its promises that are nothing but deceit. And the challenge of deceit is growing. Even the world is talking about it. There are things that are developed by computers and artificial intelligence that would trick someone. Are we working with the gifts to prepare us not to be deceived? Do we have an answer for the world that is up in arms and thinking, this is the end, this is terrible, what's going to happen? Or can we say we have been trained not to look on the surface and the outward? We've been trained by the gifts of Christ not to be deceived by winds of doctrine. And we know how to put the limits and the boundaries to the use of these things and have an answer and offer something to the world that's scared about these things. This is just the beginning. Jesus Christ has spoken of the time of the end, that there will be times of deception. There will be times of lies and rumors that go around. Are we being prepared for those that lie in wait to deceive? Are we holding true to the doctrine and the teachings that we've received and not being swayed by the popular crowds that are around us? This is one of the intents of the gifts of Christ. As he puts those in the church to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that we would be ready, that we would be prepared. The challenge today might be how to use this technology, how to teach our children. What are the limits of how you use it? Can you use it truthfully? Can you use it to create some work and then call it your own? That would be dishonest. It can write something very compelling and very convincing, but is that for us? These are questions that the world is asking. These are questions that a prepared church should be ready to give an answer for. But we must pray. We must pray to the Lord. Because it's not of us where this wisdom comes from. It's not of us where these gifts come from. We don't somehow make this happen. It's Christ working in the church. And there's but one simple way that we can make ourselves vessels that are ready to receive those gifts so that we would have something to offer, so that we could teach those who are struggling with deception, so we could answer the questions about what a man should be, so we could offer something in the way of a fellowship that binds together as a community and fills the needs that God knows we have. And it's not striving for the best gifts, but it's doing that which all of us know so plainly and clearly. It's the exact same way that Paul found himself. He was called to be an apostle. And it's talked about in Acts chapter 13 how that exactly came about. Says that there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And it says simply this: as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It's not some great striving for a gift, but in ministering to the Lord and fasting, in the basic service, in being occupied with the truth that you know, in simply being a brother who contributes, a sister who contributes, each doing our 1% perhaps, seeking a quiet and peaceable life, serving the Lord and fasting. It is in lowly service that God finds prepared hearts to bestow his gifts. And the Lord bestows his gifts abundantly to prepare us to have something to offer to this world. We don't need to go to anybody else, any other teaching, any other program or idea. Jesus Christ has this all figured out. He knows what we need. And when we surrender to him and we say, I am willing to be used whatever you say, then he will share. And then we will be who we need to be, to God's honor and glory. Amen.